Apply now at DePaco.com.
DePaco Community Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender.
It is 2 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock for Friday edition of the Gym Class. Getting ready to come your way here on KGYM. We'll update you what's happening at Augusta National. Let you know how Zach Johnson did today in his second round. A couple more Iowa football coaches met with the media earlier on today, and a big recruit get for the Iowa Hawkeyes. We'll also talk some Cyclone spring football with Paul Clark. Wrap up the college basketball season as well. It's all coming up on the Gym Class on KGYM. And from our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, Gym Class for Friday on KGYM. 1600 AM, the historic main gym all over eastern Iowa. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. And 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Also can listen via the KGYM radio app. You can go to our website at KGYMradio.com as well. Plenty of ways to listen in to the program here for a Friday. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. We'll be followed by the Todd Bromel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. That comes your way from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock tonight. Again, no Twins baseball. The Twins already postponed for tonight. Scheduled to play tomorrow, but snow has been falling the last couple days. The big cyclone in Minneapolis and all through the northern and upper Midwest. So we'll see if they can get that game in tomorrow as they take on the Detroit Tigers. Plenty to talk about. We are presented by Third Base Brewery, as always, in the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. They're locally owned and operated. Blake, great place to stop on by, take in all the sporting events, the Masters. A lot of people taking off the last couple days to see the Masters and enjoy that. Good place to do it. Third Base at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. And we've got Drake Relays tickets to give away today. We have a pair to the always fun Saturday session, which has been sold out for the last 3 or 4 decades as far as the relays are concerned. And we'll have your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to that particular day, and there's going to be a lot of future Olympians running on that day on the Blue Oval, so your chance to win that coming up in just a little bit. Mark, but we start with the playing of the Masters at Augusta going on right now.
Indeed, the 87th version of that tournament, and right now it's really a bunch leaderboard. 7-under par leading Francesco Molinari and Jason Day, both in the clubhouse at 7-under. Why is that number relevant? Because the low 50 in ties plus anyone within 10 shots of the lead make the weekend. And that would involve Cedar Rapidian Zach Johnson, who unfortunately bogeyed his last two holes today. Shot 1 over par 73, and he stands at +3. So if the tournament ended right now, Zach would play the weekend. But there are others on the course who could reach that number. And as I look at it right now, the main guy that could do that probably is John Rahm, who stands at 5-under, and he has only played 7 holes. Still on the course, Brooks Koepka playing the 18th at 6-under. So it's going to be a sit and wait rest of the afternoon for Zach Johnson, and he missed like a 4 or 5 footer on 18, just pushed it. And that would have got him comfortably into the weekend, I think. But right now, Zach tied for 57th. And I suppose there could be enough players that drop back and Zach would end up in the top 50. But that seems unlikely right now. Other players of note, you ask, Tiger Woods, -1 on the day, -3 for the tournament, currently tied for 15th. Rory McIlroy is through 7 holes. He's even on the day, tied for 43rd. But as always, there's going to be a lot of good players who don't make the weekend.
Yeah, not as many, though. And this thing is going to be, I'm almost thinking it's time to revisit this 10-shot rule. They like to play in twosomes for the weekend at the Masters, but right now they have 68 players that are going to make the cut, and that is the case. I don't think there's any way they're going to be able to play in twosomes. They're going to have to send them out in threes for Saturday and Sunday, and they don't like to do that because it bogs down play a little bit more, for one thing, and the Masters just doesn't like to deviate from tradition, and that's one of the traditions that they have put out there. Basically, right now, your former champions that are there because they can be there, and Paul Casey and Charles Schwartzel are the guys. Sergio's over the cut line, though, right now, who won it a couple years
ago. He's outside the cut line.
Yeah, he's over the cut
line. Justin Rose is outside the cut line.
But other than that, you got Cabrera, Olazabal, Woosnam.
Paul Casey, who shot 81 yesterday.
Right.
We knew he was going to miss the cut. Excellent player.
Very good player. Very good player. Won at the Valspar earlier on this year. But yeah, Tiger, or Zach, I should say, had a golden opportunity to get in and just, like you said, push that putt on 18. And now it's going to be very nerve-wracking for the next 3 hours until the last group right now is on 7, I believe. So it's going to be about 2.5 hours or so. And Zach's going to probably be getting those fingernails down in the nub.
Yeah, what it comes down to right now is if nobody gets to 8 under, Zach will play the weekend. And Zach has made the cut in 8 out of 14 Masters. Obviously, this is his 15th, and he's had mixed results. Obviously, won it in 2007, had another top 10, but he's also had 6 missed cuts. So, strangely, the British Open is Zach's best tournament. He's made 12 straight cuts at the Open Championship. But I know he hopes to get in the weekend. He's got family down there. We talked to Dr. Dave Johnson on the Caddy Smack on Wednesday, and I know all his relatives, family, friends would like to see him play on the weekend.
Yeah, they would. Coming up, we're going to talk to Paul Clark, who covers the Iowa State Cyclones. We'll talk some spring football. We'll also talk about the men's basketball team with Paul from Cyclone Report, and we'll do that here in about 6 minutes or so. And then Kevin Lehman's going to join us as well, as we will wrap up the Final Four, wrap up the college basketball season with Kevin Lehman as well. So that'll be coming up a little bit later on today. We'll also bring Kyle in here in a little bit to talk about LeVar Woods and Chris Doyle talking with the media earlier on today. Kyle was down in Iowa City. That's not the big news coming out of Iowa City today, or at least the news from via Iowa City from Texas, where Texan Elijah, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, I believe I am, Yelverton, who is a tight end, something like 6'5", 230 pounds-ish, made his commitment to Iowa today. Now, he is a 3-star tight end, but you take a look at the offers that he had received. Basically, it's a who's who as far as college football is concerned. All of the big boys were in on this youngster.
30-plus offers, according to Rob Howe, who has often sat in most Fridays with the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. And that's pretty good pedigree, really. And you got to wonder if it came down to Iowa's reputation of being tight end U. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
Yeah. Interesting. So Iowa picks up that tight end commitment right there, and that's a good get for the Hawkeyes. But we'll talk Iowa State football coming up in just a little bit, and then Kevin Lehman will join us as well. I wanted to get to this while we were on the Masters, and it just popped back into my mind here. Did you see what Zach did earlier on today? Or did you read about what Zach did earlier on today? With the practice swing on the 13th tee.
No, I hadn't heard about that.
Zach did what a lot of weekend warrior golfers have done in the past. Usually on the putting green, though, not really on a tee shot. Had his tee ball teed up, ready to go on the 13th tee, was taking some practice swings. One of the practice swings got too close, accidentally nicked the ball, and the ball went ricocheting off. It hit the right tee marker, and carom 3 feet or 3 yards, 4 yards in front of the tee box. Now, what do you think is the call?
Well, he made birdie on that hole.
Yes.
He must have got to re-tee it.
Yes, he did, because there was no intent to hit the ball, and he was not off of the teeing area. So you can re-tee it. And that is the same thing goes if you put the ball on the tee and you're lining up your drive and you accidentally tick the ball and it comes off the tee.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first thing you're playing? Your friends and playing partners would say,
"That's one."
One. Well, that's not the case.
I do it probably once a round.
Yeah.
When I address the ball and it just dribbles off the tee.
Well, it doesn't count.
I got too close to it.
There was no intent. No intent to do that. So Zach did that today, and fortunately for him, he got to take advantage of that rule, re-tee it, and as you said, made a birdie, and that might keep him in the tournament.
Yeah.
We hope, anyway. So there you go. It happens to everybody out there. Makes you feel a little better, doesn't it, as you go into the weekend?
Well, for sure.
Makes you feel a little bit better.
Not that we're going to be playing any golf this weekend.
No, it's going to be a tough go of it. Tomorrow might be all right. We'll see how it goes. 319-366-1600 at 14 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock.
Afternoon baseball going on at Wrigley Field. The Chicago Cubs leading the L.A. Angels 5-1.
Well, something that appears to be the L.A. Angels.
Yeah, top of the seventh inning. Who are they missing? Trout,
Ohtani, and Upton are all
no big deal.
Not playing for the Angels.
No big deal.
Today. So, we'll see.
You mentioned the Twins called off. That game against Detroit is going to be made up as part of a doubleheader in May. The Twin Cities got 9, 10, 12 inches. In the last couple days, and I don't know what methods they have for clearing the field and in the stadium, the seating, the parking lot, whatnot. I'd be surprised if they play tomorrow, but I could be wrong.
I'm sure there's a plan in place. By the way, breaking news.
Well, they'd be playing in the Metrodome if it still existed.
That would be. Well, throw it in U.S. Bank Stadium. The Lakers have agreed to part ways with Luke Walton as their coach. So get ready to hear about that for the next 2 weeks or so. Actually, the NBA playoffs are starting on Saturday. So, Sans LeBron James, as we will have for you a game Saturday night. Clippers and the Warriors, the 8-1 matchup in the West. That will be at 6:30. Tiger has just three-putted 8 for a bogey, a par 5. So he drops back to -2.
LeBron ever missed the playoffs as an individual?
I think he has, but it's been a long time. Long time. Yeah, will not be there this year. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a break, come back at 3:15, and we will discuss Cyclone Spring football and talk a little bit about the men's basketball program as well. Paul Clark of Cyclone Report joins us coming up after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And are all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Rolling Stone calls it rule-breaking country music. Cody Jenks in concert, Saturday, June 1st at McGrath Amphitheater with special guests Ward Davis and Alex Williams. Tickets are on sale now and expected to sell out. Get your ticket at CodyJenks.com. Don't miss Cody Jenks, Saturday, June 1st at McGrath Amphitheater, produced by True Grit Presents.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber window line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more in an array of colors and finishes. Learn more about this new, affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
Mark confirms LeBron missed the playoffs his first 2 years in the league.
That is correct, but it's made it every year since.
The association, I'm sorry. The association. Playoffs begin Saturday. Again, Clippers and the Warriors will have it at 6:30. We got a busy Saturday for you tomorrow. Coach's Corner at 9. We've got maybe the Twins at 12:30 if they get the snow off the field at Target Field. That'll be on 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM. The Masters, the third round, but they're expecting some iffy weather, perhaps going into Augusta. We shall see, and that will be at 1 o'clock, and then the basketball game at 6:30. Going to talk some Iowa State football and a little men's basketball as well as we welcome in from Cyclone Report, Paul Clark. Read his stuff out there on Twitter. Very good follow as far as Cyclone information is concerned. And Paul, how are you doing today?
I am doing great, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Not too very bad. A little windy, and but we're going to keep it. We're better than 2 feet of snow, right?
This is true. It could be a lot worse.
It could be a lot worse then.
Paul, in general, what is the focus for Matt Campbell and his coaching staff this spring?
Well, I think really, you know, for the first time since Coach Campbell arrived in Ames, it feels to me like it's kind of a fine-tuning spring and a depth-building spring. They've got answers to a lot of their riddles for this coming fall. You know, knock on wood, as long as they are not beset with some sort of run of bad luck, I think they feel like they've got answers to most of their questions. So now they're looking for who's that second level guy behind you know, most of our starters, who amongst our deep reserves / walk-ons, guys that haven't shown us anything yet. They really take advantage of the spring as a time to shine. Who amongst those guys are in a position to move up? Who's the next Braxton Lewis, who, you know, made such an impact at safety last year? So my sense has been from this spring that they're really able to work on more of the particulars and instead of trying to, you know, kind of build the whole thing from the ground up.
You talked about depth, and is there one position in particular that you're looking at to see who maybe steps up? I don't know. For me, outside linebacker might be, or at least some of the linebacker spots anyway, but how about you?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, at linebacker, they've got Willie Harvey who's moved on, so they've got to figure out what to do there. They do have Marcel Spears back. They do have Mike Rose back. Orion Vance is back. Jake Hummel. So they've got some guys back, but certainly they need to figure out where that depth is going to come from. I mean, you look at a guy, Tymar Sutton is a guy that I thought might play more than he did last year. Is this the year that he's able to move up? You know, Bobby McMillan played a lot of special teams, a little bit of linebacker, got banged up. You know, is he healthy? Boy, he's a guy that really looks the part, and he's already a redshirt senior this coming fall, which I just find amazing that he's already a fifth-year player. So can Bobby McMillan really step up and be a player in his final season? Will McDonald, you know, a guy that played or, you know, they really considered playing him last year, long, athletic linebacker. I mean, I think he's a future star. Now, whether 2019 is the year that happens, I don't know. But I do think Will McDonald is kind of a future star at linebacker. You know, if you look at other positions, what about quarterback? You know, Brock Purdy gets dinged up. You know, what's next? Real Mitchell, a guy that they love athletically. I don't know if they're sold on him as a quarterback or whether he's going to be a slash kind of player. But is he ready to be the quarterback if something happens to Brock Purdy? Or, you know, John Kolar, the senior transfer out of Oklahoma State, didn't really play very much at Oklahoma State. Is he a guy that can pull a Kyle Kemp maybe for Iowa State? So, you know, linebacker, the position you talked about, and quarterback, the most important position on the field, a couple of places to really watch, you know, what happens behind the starters.
Yeah, at the linebacker position, Mike Rose made a huge impact last year as a freshman. He's gotten bigger, hasn't lost any speed. Paul, he might be on the verge of stardom, man.
Yeah, and you know what? Just what a surprise. I mean, I'll challenge anybody. Maybe the coaches can they signed him, so they knew something. But I'll challenge anybody else to say they were all over Mike Rose. Mike Rose futures, you know, but before he showed what he could do out there. I mean, he's skinny. He was a skinny kid coming in as Big 12 linebackers go, and played so well last year, and just an amazing sense for where to go, what to do, where to be, and then to be able to physically hold up as a lean, true freshman. That was amazing. I mean, I certainly didn't see him doing anything like that. You know, he was like an 11th and a half hour addition to Iowa State's recruiting class. And so just what an amazing surprise last year. Yeah, it sounds like he's, what, maybe up to 240 or something now, or tickling 240. So he has definitely spent some time in the weight room and at the training table and agreed. You know, I talked about Will McDonald as a future star. Mike Rose is already most of the way there, and I think he's a guy that can just be great for Iowa State over the next couple of seasons.
The next logical progression, as far as Matt Campbell is concerned, you know, get to the bowl game, get to a better bowl game. Now all the so-called not-so-too-early top 25s, a lot of people, including Iowa State, this is the next step in the progression. When you have that bullseye on your back a little bit more, going to places in the Big 12 Conference, that's the next step in the progression and in the ladder, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, Iowa State has now shown itself a little bit. You know, it's a long way to go, but it's shown itself as being formidable in the Big 12. And you do lose that element of surprise. You're not going to sneak up on anybody, and maybe even starting to flirt with the idea that knocking off Iowa State is a quality win. That maybe a lower team is really gonna gun for you. So. You know, I have a lot of confidence. I have very little doubt in my mind. Again, barring anything unforeseen happening, no question in my mind, Iowa State's going to be a same level type team this fall. 7 or 8 wins, nice bowl game, whatever. Now, are they going to be a next level team? I think that's really the question. The schedule is favorable. They've got 7 home games this year, all 3 non-conference games are at home, which hasn't happened for a long time. So I think there are a lot of variables that kind of break in Iowa State's favor. You know, last year they put themselves right behind the Big 2. I mean, you had Texas and Oklahoma, the Big 2, and then Iowa State was right there at number 3 and went to the Alamo Bowl. Can they stay in that position and wait for a Texas or an Oklahoma to stumble, to have some bad luck in a subpar year, and then Iowa State can take that second spot in the Big 12 championship game, and then, you know, who knows what after, you know, if you get there on that particular Saturday, who knows what you can do. So I don't have any doubt that Iowa State's going to be right in the same area it was last year in terms of the Big 12 pecking order, and maybe, you know, with some breaks and a couple more close wins, maybe they can take that next step.
Paul, what will we see at, running back and wide receiver with the absence of David Montgomery and Hakeem Butler?
Well, it's we will find out in the fall, certainly. I mean, I think based on what we've been hearing from the spring, you know, they really like Sheldon Crony at running back. He's a senior now. He's played well as a kind of a middle reliever the past few years. And stuck around, hung around, toughed out some tough times. And so I think they really like Sheldon Crony. not only for his ability, but also just his leadership and his presence in the room. You know, Johnny Lang, we saw some flashes of him already. Fast runner. Kane Nwangu, fast running back. And then Breece Hall, the true freshman coming in. They're obviously extremely high on him. You know, that's kind of a question of when. When is he going to be ready to play at the next level? When would he be ready to play at a Big 12 level? But, you know, would one of those guys step out this year and really be the clear-cut feature back? I'm not sure. It might be a little bit of running back by committee, a little bit of who's got the hot hand. You can see any one of those guys almost, certainly the veterans, Crony, Lang, or Nwangu, you could see any one of those guys having the hot hand on a particular Saturday against a particular opponent, but I don't know if any one of those guys is the number one, no doubt about it, all the way through the season. I mean, a wide receiver, Iowa State's got a lot of guys back. They're losing the marquee guy in terms of Hakeem Butler that you mentioned, but you know, they feel certainly very good about the slot-type guys, Tariq Milton, Deshante Jones. Those two guys should be able to do a lot of damage on the inside. They've got some up-and-comers. Jalen Martin is a guy that they're very high on. Josh Johnson is a guy they're very high on. Landon Akers has proven himself in his role. So I think that'll be a question of maybe not so much who starts, but who ends up getting the most snaps and the most targets and how they distribute the football and distribute the snaps. So probably, again, a situation like at running back where there's not one absolute, no doubt about it, he's our marquee guy, but a lot of guys who can do the job, and on any given Saturday, a lot of guys that can have the hot hand and really have a big game.
Paul, before we let you go, we got to talk some basketball because a lot has changed since the end of the men's basketball season. Cameron Lard transferring. Obviously, you got the end of careers as far as eligibility is concerned. Then you had Horton Tucker saying that he's looking into the draft anyway. Lindell Wigginton, same thing, although it looks like he's a little bit more married to the draft. Boy, it could be those two guys come back, which make it a little bit more familiar. It could be a name tag type team. Hello, my name is for next year for Iowa State. Just your take on it. This is kind of a moving situation, though.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's a little bit scary. I pulled up the stats from this past season and just sorted them, you know, by points per game. And you look at that and you go, wow, top three guys, as it stands today, top three scorers from last year are gone. Five of the top seven scorers from last year would be gone, and that's a little bit daunting, even though I know, you know, Iowa State feels good about the guys they have back. They feel good about the recruiting class, rather, coming in, but wow, that's a lot to lose when you just take it at face value. I kind of agree with your take. I actually very much agree with your take. I think Lindell Wigginton is gone one way or another. Does he get drafted in the NBA? Does he, you know, go play in the G League? Does he play overseas? If he gets really negative feedback, does he possibly transfer to another school? My sense would be that he just is not in, Iowa State is not in his future plans in any fashion. Talen Horton-Tucker, like you said, maybe a little bit of a better chance that he comes back. He probably projects better, at least in terms of this year's draft. But they'll get good feedback. They'll have a pretty good sense of where the NBA teams see them before they have to make their final decision. So I think from an Iowa State fan perspective, you're kind of keeping your fingers crossed, certainly, that Talen Horton-Tucker comes back. And that would certainly, I think, big picture benefit Iowa State next year.
Did it surprise you about Cameron Lard when he announced that he was leaving?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would say not really. I mean, it's too bad. I think Iowa State really invested a lot in him. And if you just look at it from the straight business of recruiting, business of basketball perspective, I mean, the return on investment, as it turns out, just wasn't there with him. I was hoping, as much as Iowa State has invested in him, just to get him in and keep him in school, that there'd be some sense of loyalty there or whatever. And I don't know what his future plans are, if he'd rather be down south somewhere where he's from or play at a low major or mid major level, probably. Maybe that's the route he wants to go. But can't say that I was surprised necessarily, but I was certainly disappointed. I think it's somebody that, Iowa State put a lot into him, and he gave back to Iowa State as well. And I would have liked to have seen that, carried out for a couple more seasons just to kind of see where his ceiling really is.
Well, we'd say to you, have fun at the spring game, but there seems to be no more spring games anymore.
I predict, with a couple, maybe a handful of exceptions, spring games will be gone within the next 5 years.
Yeah, unless you can pack 80,000 into your stadium and charge a couple bucks.
Yeah. I think most coaches would much rather have just a regular practice. It's a lot of work to put a spring game on. It taxes your facilities people, your staff, and whatnot. So I think we're going to see spring games really fall out of favor here over the next handful of years.
I would agree with that. All right, Paul. Hey, appreciate it as always. Thanks for the insight, and talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, Paul Clark, read his stuff at Cyclone Report on Twitter, and does a great job covering Iowa State. 3:33, before we get to break here, a couple things. Tigers made a birdie, a long one on 9. And it's official now out of Iowa City. While we were talking with Paul Clark, the University of Iowa has sent out a press release, news release, and also has tweeted it out. Tyler Cook is going to enter the NBA draft and will hire an agent. So unless something very odd happens, Mark, Tyler Cook has played his last game with the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Certainly appears so. And Tyler Cook, as you said, issued a statement via Twitter within the last few minutes, and it's been circulated among the media, and we'll talk with Kevin Lehman about that. It's not even somewhat of a surprise that it appeared that Tyler Cook was going to go this route from the minute he decided to enter the NBA draft. Now he's going to hire an agent, and it is official.
Now, if he does hire an agent, there is a caveat: he could come back. He can't accept anything via the agent, and he doesn't get his name called in the draft, which is, I guess, a possibility, a pretty good possibility, perhaps. Then he can come back to Iowa, but that seems to be pretty far-fetched right now. We'll talk with Kevin Lehman about this coming up. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, yeah, you kind of touched on it there, is that there is, there is a certain path that Tyler Cook can go down along, and even though with today's news, he could return to Iowa. But as you just said, that's far-fetched, and I kind of just wanted to poke my head in here. This is not the first time. We already knew Tyler Cook was going to be going through the process, and his first statement read like a guy who was not coming back.
Yeah.
And then this one now, he goes out of his way to specifically say he's hiring an agent. This is a guy who's gone. So, Hawkeye fans out there, I'm just trying to do you a favor. Some of you, Tyler Cook is gone for good. There is no chance he's back in an Iowa uniform next year.
99.8%, I'm going to say he's gone.
Okay.
But you might as well be 100. You round up as far as 100 is concerned. All right, Kevin Lehman's going to join us next. We'll talk about that. We have the Drake Relays tickets to give away as well before 4 o'clock. Keep it right here to KGYM.
I'm Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Is presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. Tune in from 4 to 7 today right here on KGYM. Two Rivers Bank and Trust. My neighborhood, my bank.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their 5 PGA indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini golf, skee ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games, and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
I like to make my life
Easy. I got a car that can drive itself, a robot that vacuums my whole house.
Carpet has been cleaned.
And Skechers slip-ons. They don't have laces, so I can just slip them on and off with ease. And they take comfort to another level. They're flexible, breathable, and have Skechers air-cooled memory foam. Plus, they come in a wide variety of current styles. Skechers slip-ons. You'll never want to wear anything else.
Try Skechers slip-ons with air-cooled memory foam today. Skechers. Comfort included.
The Home Depot is making finding your color and choosing the right paint easier than ever. With curated palettes of this year's most popular colors and new paint selection tools online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Now, get a colorful new experience with the Home Depot's paint expertise and selection of top-quality brands, colors, and finishes. Get your paint project done right with gallons of Behr Premium Plus for $27.98 at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Wrap me in bacon, wrap him in bacon, and pour bacon crumbles on my head.
Pour bacon crumbles on his head.
Now that I think of it, I'll just go to Little Caesars.
I'll go to Little Caesars.
Get a bacon wrap deep, deep dish pizza instead.
Get a bacon wrap deep, deep dish pizza instead.
Get Little Caesars large, hot and ready bacon wrap deep, deep dish pepperoni and bacon pizza wrapped in over 3.5 feet of bacon for just $12 at participating locations plus tax.
Pizza, pizza.
O'Reilly.
If road grime is making it difficult to see what's ahead, let O'Reilly Auto Parts help clear the way. Pick up 2 gallons of Rain-X windshield washer fluid for $7. See better in any weather with Rain-X windshield washer fluid 2 for $7 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back with you in the gym class, KGYM at 3:39 here on the Friday edition of the show. Mike Colas will join us coming up on Monday, and we'll wrap up the Masters, talk a little bit about our next subject, which we're also going to talk about with our college basketball expert, Kevin Lehman, who's set to join us. Usually does on Thursdays, but had an obligation yesterday, so now joining us one more time, at least during the regular season on a Friday, to talk a little bit of college hoops. And Kevin, the big news that has come out in the last 10 minutes, I guess it's not real surprising, but both the University of Iowa and Tyler Cook now say that more than likely, I said 99.8%, Kyle said 100%, he's not going to be back for the Iowa Hawkeyes. He's going to hire an agent and go the route of the next level.
Yeah, Scott, I doubt it's a surprise to most Hawkeye fans and probably not a surprise to Iowa staff at all. And we've talked about it all year. You know, Tyler, that's his dream to do that, hire an agent. And you are correct, Scott, I mentioned earlier, there is an out now. If you hire an agent, there is a small window where you can come back, but you're limited how many benefits you can get from that agent. I attended a seminar at the Final Four where they talked about kids leaving early and how they can come back if they're not drafted.
Well, Joe Wieskamp is in a different category, Kevin, and can you explain, you know, he's going to explore his options, get feedback and whatnot. What does that involve? Is he going to work out in front of people? Do they evaluate his film? What really happens there?
Well, I think what they've done with this now, Mark, if you're selected in a certain pool and you're invited to the combine. So the big thing, it depends if he gets invited to the combine, but you can still work out for specific teams and get feedback from those NBA coaches and executives. So if you're Joe Wieskamp, I think this is a great avenue to pursue because you're going to find out how they evaluate your game, where you need to improve, where your unique weaknesses are. Probably some of the same things that Fran McCaffrey's telling. You can come back and become a better player in that situation. So I think it's a great move for Joe Wieskamp, and I expect to see him in a Hawkeye uniform next year.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, percentage that we see Joe Wieskamp playing in Iowa City next year, you obviously think it's pretty high.
I do, and I know, why would you not explore these options and get that type of feedback? Because, you know, you're going to get workouts, work on your game, and you find exactly what those people are looking for to make you a successful NBA player. And, you know, Joe Wieskamp, we know, is a special talent, but he's not on anybody's draft board right now, guys. I just can't see him going. And a lot of money right now is in Europe, because when you look at this, and I turned that seminar at the Final Four, and they talked about second-round draft picks. Your chance of making an NBA team are really slim. In fact, as a free agent, they're about the same. So if you're not a first-round draft pick, it's a tough road to make an NBA team. Even though the NBA has expanded their rosters and they're carrying 17 people now because of the two-way contracts.
What did you think of the Final Four, Kevin?
I loved it, Mark. Thank God it was last weekend and not this weekend, or we'd be fighting snow again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But great games. It also told us what we've said all year. It comes down to guard play, your ability to handle basketball, not turn over, to stop dribble penetration. And you look at those teams, Virginia and Tech, hung their hat on defense. Their guard play was outstanding. And even you look at Duke's loss, with all the great front court line that Duke has, they weren't good enough to get to the Final Four. It came down to backcourt play, which Texas Tech had. And I thought Matt Moody in that semifinal game for Tech was outstanding. And he couldn't get it going against Virginia. And, you know, Virginia's guards, Kyle Guy and those guys, Ty Jerome, they really played well. How would you like to beat Kyle Guy and have to make three free throws on Saturday with 0.6 seconds? To put your team in an overtime.
Didn't seem to bother him a bit, did it?
Yeah, 71,000 people in that place.
Well, that was, if you rank those three comebacks, is that rank number one? I don't know. I still think the Purdue one is about the most, is the craziest one, with the back tap and the shot off the missed free throw.
Yeah, they were kind of, last year that UMBC lost, number 16 seed, is like everything went right for Virginia Cavaliers in 20 minutes this season, especially into that Final Four run, because they had so many chances. And I'll give them credit for this, though, Scott. They made the plays when they had to make them to win the championship.
That they did. That they did. But maybe it was just karma as far as the run by Virginia. When you lose to a number 16 in the preceding year and – you know, you make your own breaks, is what they say. And certainly Virginia took advantage of the breaks and the opportunities that were given to them.
Well, and you look at those other teams that didn't make it. They didn't make plays when they had to at the end of the game, and Virginia was able to do that, even with that Purdue game you talked about. And you go back to the first-round game, I can't even remember who they were playing, Virginia. They were down early in that game. It looked like another 16 seeds to beat them. They got things turned around and then made the plays they had to down the stretch. But I thought their backcourt, and these aren't NBA-looking guys, their backcourt, both Tech and Virginia, was outstanding in that game. They just did not turn the ball over, didn't make mistakes, and made big shots when they needed to make big shots.
Should the Big Ten now fear Nebraska?
Yeah, I got that on my list of things we're talking about today because Fred Hoiberg has announced his staff. I think it's going to take Fred 2 to 3 years, but you're looking to me, Nebraska's going to be an upper-level, consistent upper-level Big Ten team. Michigan State has done it. Michigan has done it. Purdue has done it. I think Nebraska is going to be one of those teams, too, that's always going to be like Wisconsin was under Bo Ryan. Back in those days, you always penciled in the top four, and they always end up in the top four. I think Nebraska's heading that direction because, to me, all those pieces are in place. Fan base, unbelievable arena, and now you've got Fred Hoiberg, who just has a way of getting players and getting those players to blend together.
You believe that much in Hoiberg?
I do, because I was there. You know, I got my TV start with Coach McDermott at Iowa State, and Fred came in. I was still working for the old Cyclone Network, so I watched him turn that thing around, and, you know, he did it with Royce White, just different pieces. And, you know, Hilton Ames has a more tradition than Nebraska, but Nebraska, you guys may have been at Pinnacle Arena. That is a unbelievable. It's an NBA-style arena. And I told you, I said an NIT game there against Butler, where they had 10,500 people for an NIT game, and the place was going crazy. They are hungry. I mean, hungry for a winner. at Nebraska.
They are, and the speculation yesterday, and it came true today, Doc Sadler is going to be on Freddie Hoiberg's staff. Bobby Lutz is in there as well. So he's got some guys with some big-time experience that he brought in, much like he did at Ames for the first time.
Yeah, and he's got Matt Abel-Massey, who can recruit the East Coast for him. You know, St. John's graduate, was on the St. John's staff. That was kind of his guy when he got things going here at Iowa State to get those people in place. So I want to watch how Fred assembles this first and second team. Is he going grad transfer? Are you going to sit guys out? Where's he going to get his players from? Because that was the magic. He worked at Iowa State. And remember, guys, he was the first to dip into that transfer market. Now a lot of teams are doing it. Fred was one of the first to do it. So does he have another way that he's going to put together this team and stay ahead of the curve?
Thoughts on Alford going to Nevada?
Well, I hate to say this, but I told my son about 3 weeks ago that I thought Alford would end up not only in Mountain West. I said, when Musselman leaves, look for Alford to end up at Nevada, Reno, which is where he ended up. So I think that's a good landing spot for Steve Alford. He had success at New Mexico. And wherever my son goes, he seems to follow him. Because my son Austin lived in Albuquerque. Alford went down there. My son just moved to Reno.
The wild card.
Yeah, well, and yeah, the biggest little city in the world. But I would agree with you. And no matter what you think of Steve, you know, on the court, off the court, whatever the case may be, I think it's a perfect fit for him. And it's not going to surprise me at all if he wins, and it's probably not going to take long. Although Nevada had three guys going to the transfer portal as soon as Musselman left. Now, are they going to come back with the news of Alford? I don't know.
Did you hear a casino offered him free buffets for life? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. He's won in the Mountain West before, and like you said, I think this is the perfect landing spot for him.
If you look at the Mountain West, you've got UNLV has great potential. T.J. Osselberger going in there. San Diego State's always been good in that league. And Nevada Reno, just under Musselman, has flexed their muscles lately. And that league likes to recruit from the West Coast. So Alford, if he has made connections in the West Coast, California area, L.A. area, so forth, he'll be able to draw some players in the Reno. And he's a little bit out of the spotlight, guys. He's not on that high stage where he was in the Big Ten here at Iowa, where he was at UCLA, where he's out in front of the public all the time. So I just think it's a good fit for Steve Alford.
Why wouldn't Mick Cronin want to go to UCLA? Because that's not your John Wooden UCLA anymore, Kevin.
Mark, I'm wondering why anyone would want to go to UCLA, because they are so far behind the times facility-wise. The Pac-12 is just not a very strong league right now. And Mick Cronin, you saw the style he plays when he played against the Hawkeyes. That's what he's always been. He's been about slow down, grind it out defense. He's kind of like those old school Missouri Valley teams in the style that they play. Is that going to be able to sell that to that Bruin fan base who still think UCLA is like our daddy's UCLA?
Yeah.
It doesn't exist there anymore.
What did you hear with your ear to the ground in Minneapolis at the Final Four? The big talk, I think, was about the one-and-done rule going away. Was that included in some of the seminars and some of the things up there? Just what'd you find out in Minneapolis?
Yeah, I did. Real interesting seminar. I wish I would have brought my notes, because they talked a lot about players doing what Joe Wieskamp is, exploring the waters, what they're allowed to do with agents, what allows them to come back. And although the NCAA continues to say, which is true, the one-and-done rule is not their rule. It's an NBA rule, but they look for it to change, I believe, in 2 to 3 years, where players can be able to come out right away and go to the NBA. And they talked a lot about transfers and what makes a transfer immediately eligible to play, why they grant certain waivers and why they don't grant certain waivers. And that was the main talk. And a lot of questions. High-profile coaches in these meetings asking questions about players, why are they declared immediately eligible when they transfer, and why some are not. And it's it's starting to get the feeling that they're going to lean toward almost a free agent market as this develops, because they're granting more and more transfers. If you have any type of reason, whether it's an ill parent, you had issues with the coach, there's any racial bias that existed, anything like that, even had situations where a person was in a dorm room where some things happened that he witnessed, he was granted immediate transfer eligibility. So a lot, it just seems to be leaning more and more toward letting kids transfer and play immediately.
And I think you're going to see if a coach leaves. I think you're going to see kids be able to do that. But I think they're going to cut back as well on some of the other things. I think the transfer portal is going to get a little bit tighter as far as just getting into it in the next couple of years. But I guess that remains to be seen.
Well, the other thing I heard was when these coaches started getting these astronomical salaries and huge buyouts of their contracts, that's when all this thing kind of twisted for college basketball, and we're seeing kids transfer, coaches become the power brokers in the school because of their contracts and the amount of money that they're paid. And I did the math. I know what my seat cost. I multiplied that times 71,000 people in that arena, and I came up with $31 million for the Final Four games.
That's why they play them in the big football stadiums, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
$31 million. And we're not talking Sweet 16, first round. This was just those three games.
Yeah, you're right.
What my math came out with, $31 million that was brought into the NCAA coffers for that game. And that was just ticket sales.
Yeah, that's just the flat line right there. Well, Kevin, appreciate all the help this year, and we'll talk to you again before we get into the basketball season when the topics come up, and we'll get you on the line there. But appreciate it, and it was a great year of college basketball, certainly.
Well, Marcus Scott, my pleasure's been on, and I'll tell you what, basketball goes all year round now because we have the transfer portal, and we still have some coaching movement going on, so it'll be an interesting spring for not only Iowa and Iowa State.
Yeah, we'll have you back. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Kevin Lehman talking college basketball with us here at 3:54. We're going to go to a break. As we go to break, going to give you an opportunity to see one of the great athletic events in the state of Iowa and just around the Midwest period. Saturday at the Drake Relays, we have a pair of tickets to the Saturday session of the Drake Relays. Again, call, please, if you are planning to go. We're going to take caller 6 at 319-366-1600, 319-366-1600. Kyle will get your information, and you'll be there to enjoy all the Olympians and all of the pomp and circumstance of a Saturday at the Drake Relays. Back with more after this.
At Merrick, we know dogs are in charge. So our dog foods start with deboned meat, poultry or fish, and Sorry. Coming!
Here's your ducky.
And because real whole foods are better for your dog, each Merrick recipe is packed with whole fruits and vegetables. Excuse me.
You want to go out right now? Okay.
Dogs are in charge. Serve them well. Merrick.
Available at your local pet store.
Each morning, people wake and smile when they see the sun. Not the one in the sky, a little picture of the sun on the prescription bottles from CVS Pharmacy. It makes knowing when to take your medication clear as day. Up to 50% of people don't take them properly. So we're just trying to help more people have more mornings. To wake and smile when they see the sun. Not the one on the bottle, the one in the sky. Includes only prescriptions from CVS Pharmacy.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Congratulations going out to Mike in Montezuma, home of the Braves and the Bravettes, as he is going to go see Saturday at the Drake Relays. And thanks to Blake Bolton, everybody, Mike Mahon, everybody at Drake for providing those for us to give away to America's Track Classic. If you've never been, you got to go.
A poll question has arrived at our desk, Scott. The Emo's Hideaway poll question. You can vote at kgymradio.com. It goes like this. With Tiger in the hunt, are you more likely to watch the Masters this weekend? Yes or no? Thanks to Emo's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Right now, Tiger Woods still on the course in the second round.
Everybody's going to make the cut.
Tied for 15th right now at -3, 1 under on the day.
We hope everybody makes the cut. We're hoping Zach hangs on. Adam Scott, though, has got a chance to go to 7, and he's got a par 5 left, so he could possibly tickle to 8, and that would kick the threes out, and that would be bad news for Zach Johnson right there. I'm watching it anyway, so a lot of people, even not golf fans, this is the event they watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, the course, and it's a limited field. 80-some this year, what, 83, 84,
or 89,
something like
that.
And so it's a little bit easier to follow. So I think it's going to be a pretty high percentage.
Tiger will be in effect on TV as long as he plays.
It's no different than this in the Valspar. At the Valspar, he's showing every shot anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but there's so many very, very good players, but they don't have the backstory and the charisma that Tiger has in some people's mind.
It's going to be a great weekend. It's going to be a fantastic weekend. As you got a lot of golfers from packed in between 5 and 2 right now. And there's some interesting stories out there. Victor Hovland, an amateur, is in at 1 under right now. So there's a lot of things. It's going to be a fun weekend. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it on Monday with Mike Halas. And again, the story today, Tyler Cook looks like his University of Iowa men's basketball career is in the rearview mirror. He is going to hire an agent, and he will more than likely not play again for the Iowa Hawkeyes. More on that coming up on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. That's coming your way next right here on KGYM. For Kyle, for Mark, Scott Unash, thanking you for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody.